Hello friends, welcome to Running and Fitness with Raj. This show will bring you exciting and interesting guests and give you specific and actionable advice on your running, fitness and general health. Before getting into the episode today, I wanted to share with you the exciting news that the podcast now has a website, runfitraj.com. That's runfitraj.com. Please check out the website. It has all the podcasts. It has all the show notes. There is a very useful search function where you can search the various episodes and the show notes. And do send me any feedback or questions that you have. That's runfitraj.com. Our guest today is the exceptional runner and highly inspiring Anjali Sarogi from Calcutta. Anjali holds multiple running records, including the national record for 100 kilometers. She is the fastest Indian woman in the world famous ultra marathon Comrades, and she was chosen as the Woman Ultra Runner of the Year by the Athletics Federation of India in 2018-19. In addition, she has won numerous races in multiple categories like the half marathon and full marathon, including multiple wins at India's largest race, which is the Mumbai Marathon. So welcome to the show, Anjali.
Thank you so much, Raj, for having me on this show and for all these wonderful words that you've said about me.
Oh, absolutely, fully deserved. So can we start with a little bit of a background in your own words on how you embarked on this journey? And if you can just take us through those initial parts, that'll be great.
For sure. So I started running in 2015 on the insistence of my daughter. I totally lacked confidence. But my daughter encouraged me. She said, Mom, if you really want to take part in a half marathon, do so. So I got upset with her. I said, you know, I cannot run so much, though I did want to. She said, what is the worst that will happen? You won't finish the race? Leave the race. At least you know you've done what you wanted to do. So on her encouragement, I enrolled for the half marathon. I had a great time. I enjoyed running that race a lot. Simply because 21 kilometers back then was a long distance for me. And when I ran beyond those 5-10 kilometers, the freedom I felt, and I felt so good in connecting with myself in a way that regular life or regular exercise did not enable me to connect with myself. So the 21 kilometers was like 100K to me back then, because it was a revelation about how much I'm enjoying this run. And it was fairly long for me back then. Then I thought that, yes, since I have enjoyed 21K, why not run a full marathon? So then I trained for a full marathon. I chose to run in Chicago. And I did a good time of a BQ time of 3 hours, 32 minutes. And that really gave me a lot of confidence. And that's when I thought that, yes, I should start training for an ultra marathon.
So you touched upon a couple of things, Anjali. One is you mentioned that you were doing some other activities prior to running your half marathon. So what was your exercise regimen like? Are you doing some yoga and things like that?
So ever since my childhood, I was pretty fat. And pregnancy made me fatter. And to lose all that weight, I was doing a lot of yoga. And I used to run, walk, jog 5 kilometers every day. I was fond of swimming. And in summer, I'd swim a lot. So basically, my exercise routine was yoga, swimming, and walk, jog, run 5 kilometers. That's it.
Okay. And if I look at, even before Chicago, if I look at your record, you won the age group in the Mumbai Marathon earlier that year in 2016, which was probably the first race where you also trained a little more consistently, I'm assuming. What do you attribute this tremendous timings and success that you saw, I would say, pretty much from your first races itself? I mean, it's not every day that somebody, for example, runs a 1:44 first half or first or second half marathon or a 3:32 first full marathon, right?
So I don't think I had any specific training for that Mumbai half in 2016. I ran my first half in Calcutta in November 2015. That was running totally in the blind. I didn't even have proper running gear. I wore my daughter's golf t-shirt and ran. And I ran that in 1 hour, 55 minutes. And my husband and I were in shock because that was a fairly good time back then and for Calcutta. So he said that, why don't you go to Goa? Because in December, the Goa River Marathon takes place. Yes. And let us see if you can do the same time there or do better. And Goa is a tougher course than Calcutta because it's a bit hilly. And it's also humid like Calcutta, but it's hilly. So I did the same time in Goa, 1 hour, 55 minutes. And that is when the rest of my family encouraged me to take part in the Mumbai half. But I cannot say I had any specific training because I didn't know what training is. I think it was my years of doing that 5 kilometer run, walk, jog, years of doing a lot of swimming, all that had built me up. So I could manage a distance of 21K without any specific training as such. I did maybe 2 long runs of 10 kilometers or 12 kilometers, but that too, not the way I would train now. I didn't know what intervals are. I didn't know fartleks. I didn't know anything. So it was more running in the blind and running just for the joy of running.
Okay, so that leads to the next question. You kind of just touched upon your regimen, training regimen, how it has changed over the years. And I also realized that for a variety of reasons, you have not used a personal coach, like somebody who is one-on-one coaching you, or certainly you were not using anybody in the earlier part. So as you progressed your running, let's say, after Mumbai Marathon in 2016 to transitioning to the full marathon, did you start following any specific plan, like, say, a Macmillan plan or a Fitzgerald plan or any plan, or were you constructing kind of your own coaching schedules?
So back then, I didn't know of any of these plans. I didn't know how to train for a full marathon. I had happened to read a book called Dare to Run, which is on the Comrades by Mr. Amit Sheth. And I was mesmerized by that book. And I wrote to him that I love your book and someday I want to run the Comrades. But I have not even done a full marathon and I am supposed to run the Chicago Marathon in October. So I wrote to him in February 2016. And October 2016 was my full marathon. Back then, I didn't know how to train. I didn't know anything about the various types of running. I didn't know about nutrition. I didn't know about gels. I'd never had a gel also. So Mr. Amit Sheth helped me. He guided me as to how to train. He gave me a training program. So if I got any coaching, it was from him. And I had chosen a tough time for my Chicago race. I said, if I'm going all the way to the USA to run this race, I better run it well. It's a really expensive race for me. So I wanted to do a time which was a BQ time. And I told Mr. Sheth this. He said, if you just follow the kind of training I'm telling you to do, and he would outline a training plan for me. And that's what I followed. And my BQ time was 3 hours, 45 minutes. I finished my race in 3 hours, 32 minutes.
Very comfortably.
Yes.
So, okay. So just take us through some of the changes Amit Sheth made in your plan, starting with things like, did you increase the number of days you were running? How did your mileage increase? What sort of variety? And then, of course, things like, cross training or strength training also we will talk about.
So from running 2 or 3 days a week, of maybe maximum 25 kilometers or 30 kilometers or maybe less a week, I went to running 5 days a week and later on 6 days a week. I started to do 400 meter speed training, which I had never done. So he had to teach me the concept of speed training. It started with 200 meters and then 400 and then it went up to 800 meters. I started doing tempo runs. Again, I didn't know what a tempo run is. So I learned all of this during the process. And I started training maybe in mid-March. And I slowly climbed the ladder. I learned about the different kind of runs and a long run. So first my long run was maybe 15 or 18K. And then it gradually went up to 32K.
And this would have been, as you were, you know, cranking up your mileage, you would also have been running into peak summertime as well, right? I mean, that would have added further challenges. And what about things like cross training, strength training? Did you make any changes there as well?
Well, I tried to do a bit of strength work. I wasn't very good at it because I didn't have a coach and I didn't know how to do strength work. But whatever little I knew I'd do. And sometimes I would do a bit of biking. But in Calcutta, it's very difficult to really cycle on the roads. I know people do it, but it's quite dangerous, as is running. But cycling is even worse. So it was a bit of a challenge. So whatever I could do in a gym on a stationary bike, that's what I did.
Okay. And among all these, you know, new variety of training, do you have a favorite workout, if I may ask?
Yes, my favorite workout is the long run, because I feel a long run can never go wrong. You know, suppose you plan a tough run and you cannot make it tough. You've done a good distance. So a long run is a beautiful run because you can do it any which way and you still are worked out well.
Yeah, and you also probably have a little more, you know, variation in terms of the time you want to do, unlike, say, a tempo workout or a speed workout, which is a little more demanding on speed, right? I mean, you have to hit a certain target pace, but long run, I'm sure most people will allow you a range.
Absolutely.
So completing the distance then takes precedence over the time in which you did it. Absolutely. And if I look at your, you know, transition, I mean, clearly, you know, people do transition from half marathons to marathons, but in your case, it's been a pretty rapid increase to the ultra marathon distance. And so how did, I mean, what triggered it? Was it the same book that Amit Sheth wrote about Comrades Marathon, which triggered your interest in ultra marathons? Because, you know, you quickly moved to ultra marathons and then you had, you know, even greater success in ultra marathon. So just take us through that phase.
So, like I mentioned, when I was running that 21 kilometers for the first time, what I enjoyed most was the distance. And that's the reason why I also love the long run, is because running long distances takes me to places where I cannot go in regular life. And it makes me connect with my mind, body and soul in such beautiful ways. And I just feel so alive when I run long. So after I finished the Chicago Full Marathon in 2016, all I could see was the comrades in front of me. And yes, of course, it was primarily because that book had made the race magical for me. And I wanted to go experience the magic that people from all over the world go there for. Secondly, since the race seemed so challenging, I was drawn to it because I like challenges. It is not to compete. It is just to better myself, because I think it's human to want to evolve, because I think it is human to want to grow. And I had loved the full marathon, but the concept of doing a race which was double the distance of a marathon and even more was so attractive because it was challenging. I would have to train in a different way and I'd be pushing myself in ways that I'd never done, and that would help me grow. So that is what attracted me to the ultra long races.
So when you see, there are two things with respect to, let's say, comrades, right? One is obviously the distance, as you mentioned, it's more than double the distance of a marathon. And you also talked about it being a difficult one because obviously it's undulating terrain with, you know, it's a hilly race. So other than probably increasing your long run distance, did you do training in the hills or something, training in the hills in, say, West Bengal or another place? Because I know some athletes do that. What did you do specifically to train for comrades?
So to train for comrades was very challenging for me because in Calcutta, we don't have hills. Calcutta is flat.
Correct.
And back then, running was not a very prominent part of Calcutta's early morning picture on the streets. We didn't see too many runners and runners running long distances. So where it came to runs up to 30-35K, I could manage on my own. But in comrades, we typically have to do those 60K runs. Those were not possible for me to do in Calcutta. And that too, I didn't want to do it alone because I didn't know how to approach such a long run. So I had to go out of Calcutta. I went to Silvassa twice. Like the comrades from Mumbai, they have a nice training training run out there. I think in March and April and in May. So I joined them for two of their runs. And well, I recall the first time I started on that 60K run, I could do 50 or 52K. I couldn't do more than that. And I had never run at 1 in the morning. We started the run at 1 in the morning. And I could see the moon and the stars. And after running for a few hours, we could see the sun come up. And I thought that, what have I been doing all these years? Like, why have I not been running? So doing those 60K long runs was such a liberating thought for me and such an eye-opener for me because it exposed me to a world which I didn't know existed and a world that was so beautiful. And my third long training run of 60K, I did in Bangalore in the Nandi Hills.
Okay.
And okay, I also went to Mussoorie for a few weeks to train over there because it's hilly and Calcutta is flat.
Okay, excellent. Okay, now one of the comments which you have made and I have read about is the fact that you believe that the marathon distance is the foundation of your running. Can you just elaborate what do you mean by that?
Well, I feel that the marathon is the fundamental of all ultra running simply because a marathon comprises of speed work, tempo work, and a long run. And an ultra race is nothing but a longer form of a marathon. You can just keep multiplying the distance as many times as you want to. So if one does these three kind of workouts in a consistent way, then they have to enjoy the ultra marathon as well. Because, a lot of people feel that speed is not important for an ultra marathon. But I feel that a little bit of speed work is essential because otherwise the leg turnover gets a little boring and a little slow and you get sluggish. So doing speed work at least once a week definitely keeps the legs fresh. So I feel that following the basic marathon workouts, extending the distance, maybe reducing the speed work, but still doing a little bit of speed work and a fair amount of tempo, one can tackle any distance.
Okay. Okay. Now, another question I had is, regarding your racing strategy. What I noticed is that, you ran a 50K. I think a week or two or 10 days before your New York marathon. Now, that's quite unusual, right? I mean, for most athletes, that's the taper phase. So what's your thinking behind doing such a long race so close to a marathon?
So that is a bit of a long story. I was actually, my goal race in the second half of 2018 was the New York Marathon. And I was training very hard for it up to the third week of July. And in the third week of July, I got to know about this 100K World Championship race in Croatia. And that's when I applied for it and I got an acceptance. Now, the Croatia 100K was in September. New York Marathon was in November. Now, my time was less to train for the 100K. But since I had been accepted in the team on the basis of my previous year's comrade timing, I was confident I would manage the 100K distance, maybe not a good time, but the distance, because I was training very hard for the New York race. And I thought if I compromise on my time, means I run a bit slower, I can manage the distance because I enjoy doing long runs. And through the month of like the last week of July and the next month, I would have done a lot of long runs. But unfortunately for me, I got dengue on the 1st of August. And mine was a pretty severe form. I needed two platelet transfusions. So there went my grand plans of training hard for Croatia in that 1 month which I had. And I had trained pretty hard all the previous months, so I could manage the 100K. And since I could not manage the 100K the way I had wanted to, and I knew that I had anyway jeopardized my New York time, because September was too close to the New York race for me to be able to recover well and then do a bit more specific training. So yeah. Since I knew that my New York race would not be at my desired time, and in Croatia, I got an invite to run this race in China, and it was a sponsored race. It was a 50K in the end of October. So because I saw that I have anyway jeopardized my New York timing, I thought, why not go run New York for fun and also enjoy this 50K in October? This is not the ideal thing to do, but I did not race either of them. I just went to enjoy myself in both the races, and that's what I did.
Yeah, in fact, you touched upon it, and this is something I wanted to ask you also. You know, you talked about the setback you had with, dengue, and then you also at one point was diagnosed with lumps, and, you know, these kind of health setbacks. Two parts to the question. One is, how do you, not just running related, how do you deal with it mentally? And then, a little more specifically, how do you cope with your running when these setups happen? Just take us through that process of how you deal with it.
So the first time something like this happened was in 2018, when I got a stress fracture in my shin. And that was the death knell for my comrades 2018. And that is when I realized that everyone, anyone is, things can happen to anyone. I was very upset, but yes, of course, there's no point sitting and grumbling because it's a waste of time. There's no point feeling bad because I strongly believe regret is a meaningless distraction. I just accepted it and I moved on with my life and I started training for New York. Comrades was out of my bucket list, means the down run, which I was supposed to do. Then in August, when I got dengue, it was very hard for me. But I had learned to accept a situation like this because you can't always have it all. And when things like this happen, nobody enjoys it. But the best way to deal with it is to first accept it and then do what you can in your control to get better and to work on your sport. So my first primary concern was, how do I get out of dengue? How do I get strong again? Then when I felt that I was reasonably strong and I could do a little bit of training, was to do whatever best I could at that point of time. There's no point thinking of, oh, what I could have done, because I just believe that thinking of what I could have, would have, what should have happened is a waste of time. I like to live in the now. I like to focus on what is in my control. And that's what I did. I focused on what was in my control and I focused on my strength and my previous training and my self-confidence, because at no point did I feel that, no, I cannot run the Croatia race. I always felt that, yes, I can do it. So what if I've had a setback? So what if I'm weak? Maybe I cannot run it the way I would have, but I can still do it. And I like to focus on what I can do, and that's what I do. And similarly with my breast lumps. Of course, at that point, I was very upset. I cried. But I don't like to waste time on regrets. Just deal with the situation and move on and do what you can. At least I can do this. And that's how I see it.
Oh, that's excellent advice. It's, it's very, very inspiring. It's very practical also at the same time. Instead of wasting time and, literally crying over spilt milk because, there's nothing you can do about it, about the missed training sessions or an illness which sets you back. Moving on to another, you again talked about, some of the challenges you, especially in the initial years, faced because you would have been one of the few women runners in Calcutta. What are some of the other challenges as a working mother that that you face, and what are some of the advice that you can share with the listeners?
So at first, I used to feel guilty about the quantum of time that I spend away from my family, especially my daughter. But over time, I came to realize and feel that it's okay. You know, we all have to do what's right for us. As long as I am doing all my duties and I spend a fair amount of time, I'm not neglecting anyone in my family or any of my responsibilities. It's okay if I'm doing something for myself and I stop feeling guilty. And especially because running, working out makes me happy. If I'm happy, I can do more for my family. So I feel it's just a beautiful cycle, because the more I do for myself, the more I can do for others. So when it came to my family, that's how I tackled it. Yes, time management is key. There's no point wasting time on useless things and distractions. I don't waste time. I'm very focused from the moment I wake up till I sleep. Every minute is accounted for. And I feel that the busier I am, the more I can achieve. So it's very good for me that I work, because I feel that if I had too much time, I wouldn't even work out. It is the basic schedule, discipline, which keeps me going.
Okay. And I know that running is in many ways, a sort of a therapy for you, or something which relaxes you a lot. But what are, outside of running, some of your favorite recovery methods once you have done a long run or coming out of a demanding training cycle? What are your recovery methods?
So the first way I love to recover is sleep. I feel sleep is essential. And suppose I've had a really hard race or very hard training session also, I don't set any timing to my sleep. I just sleep for as long as I want to. Then I don't count calories and I eat healthy, nutritious food. I rarely eat nonsense or junk food. It's okay to indulge in, say, a beer once in a while, or have some chocolate or cake and stuff like that. But by and large, I'm very disciplined with my food. And I feel nutrition and hydration are also key. Apart from that, foam rolling is essential for me. I do it maybe 3 or 4 times a week as a rule. And I love to get a deep tissue massage. It hurts, but it revives me.
Okay. No, that's very helpful. So you have run, multiple races in India. You have run around the world. Tell us about one or two of your favorite races.
So it's very hard to choose a favorite race, because every race has such beautiful memories attached to it that I really cannot disregard any race, because I am what I am because of each and every race that I have run and all the people who I've met and who have been a part of that race with me. But if I were to choose like a top favorite race, it would be the Garhwal race, which is which I ran in 2018 February. It was a run from Dehradun to Dhanaulti. It's an uphill climb of around 7,200 feet, and it's a 74 kilometer race, and it was absolutely beautiful. The landscape was beautiful. The hills were tough, but the hills were so beautiful. It was green. I just felt that I'm in heaven. Like if I could picturize heaven, that was heaven for me. And for most of the race, I was on my own, because the race is so spread out, and there are only 60 or 80 runners in that race. And you rarely see someone. So running alone in the hills, going up and down, was just so beautiful, and I just love that. But the reason it is very memorable for me is also because I got lost in that race around the 67th K mark, approximately something like 64 or 67 K. There's a crossroad, and I'm coming up a hill. And there's one hill going down, and there are 2 more roads going up. Now, I think I was hypoglycemic, and I must have lost all my electrolytes, because I had already run, I think, 7 or 8 hours. No, 7 hours. and it was very hard. And I could not see the markings on the ground. So I didn't go on the right route and I went on the wrong route. And I ran 4 kilometers. No, I ran 2K extra, but I ran downhill. And I was loving it because after all that uphill, I was running downhill. And I was like, wow, this is wonderful. But then I realized that my final destination is an uphill one. So why am I going downhill? And that's when I realized that I'm running on the wrong route and I had to turn around. Now, that same downhill, which I loved running, became an uphill when I was coming back. So I had to run those 2K back uphill and I came back to that crossroad where I got lost. I just sat down and I started crying over there. I started crying because I was very tired. It was hard. My glutes were gone. My quads were gone. I didn't have water. I didn't have food. And I could see runners go on the right route, cross me by. Till then, I was coming second in the race. Now, I don't know where I was. I'm a little competitive and I wanted to run a certain time and get a certain podium. I'd lost that. So my own stupidity, my lack of being very aware, which I should have been. So at that point, I was sitting and crying and I thought that I should just leave the race. Then I told myself that if I quit now, I'm going to quit forever. And whenever I come to a crossroad, which is a tough situation, I'm going to quit because I quit once. Number two, I reminded myself that why am I running? Am I running because I want to win or because I'm loving this particular course? And I wanted to be true to myself. So having prepped myself with those positive thoughts, I got back in the race. And I slowly managed to wiggle my way past all those runners. And I came up to the guy who was coming second. And he and I started walking because it was a very steep uphill. And we became good friends. And we were talking and I learned so much about him. And I saw such a different part of a run or a race, which I had never done because I'd never stopped to talk to people in a race. But this was a brutal ultra. And this was the first time I stopped to talk to someone and I was having fun. Of course, it was painful and he had taken my position in any case. But I was just loving walking, jogging, running with him. And then 500 meters to the finish line, he and I both started sprinting. He beat me by a minute, which was wonderful because had he not started sprinting, I would have never thought that I can sprint the 78th kilometer of such an uphill brutal run. I would have been walking and I was sprinting at a sub 4:30 pace out there. And I never would have pushed myself to that extreme had he not been there. So losing my position was the best thing for me because I learned so much about myself. And that is why it is so memorable.
Thank you for sharing this. This is such a inspiring story. In fact, despite having these setbacks, you still picked it up as your favorite race. So there is a lesson for everybody in there. So that's very wonderful. And is this also your most memorable running moment or is there another one?
You know, all the moments are filled with so much of pain that it's really hard to forget them all. But yes, this is my most memorable race and my running moment. Yes.
Okay, great. So now let's talk a little bit about 2020. I mean, this is, it's not, I mean, obviously there are bigger things going on in the world and runners have around the world have all been affected by lack of races. And at least in some case, you know, some parts of the year this year, people have even not had the ability to train, forget racing. Personally, how are you handling this this lack of races, this lack of ability to train properly? How do you keep your motivation up and what you've been up to?
So to start with March, it was very disappointing because I was supposed to run the age group for London Marathon. As you know, it's very hard for us from India to get an entry into London Marathon because very few people get lucky in the ballot. I still know no one who's got the ballot yet. And it's quite expensive to go through a travel agent. And it was very lucky for me that I had got the age group. I think it was a Wanda Abbott World Major Age Group registration which I got, because my rank from the country
just so that listeners understand, I just want to clarify that what Anjali is talking about is that nationally, Abbott World Majors select one woman athlete and one male athlete during every cycle, which happens typically 2 years. So first of all, congratulations on that. And you were representing India at that. Yeah, but the race never happened. So
So it was so disheartening because I was to run two races. One is the Wanda age group as well as the London Marathon. So, and that would have been a chance of a lifetime, because now I don't know whether it's ever going to come back to London when the cycle starts, because I don't know how they're going to go around the different world majors. Right. So so I missed that. And March, April, May was total no running because of the lockdowns and the severity of the situation. June, I started. In June, I could run pretty well. And from July, again, the cases in my side of the city were pretty, pretty much. And most of the city was a containment zone. So I had to curtail my running, and all I've been doing since July is basically maintenance running. I do a lot of strength work at home, but when it comes to outdoor, because when I run, I don't wear a mask, because I can't wear a mask and run. A lot of people I see are wearing a mask, but honestly, I don't know how good it is, because you're not really breathing properly and the mask is also wet. So it's easier for me to run without a mask. And because I run without a mask, I don't run much. So I'd say July, I've been doing maintenance work as so for last month. And now it's September. Hopefully things are going to get better. So from next week or so, hopefully I can rev up my running.
And assuming things start coming back to normal in the coming weeks and months, tell us about some of your next goals. Let's say for 2021 and beyond.
So for 21, my goal is the 100K Asian Championship, which will happen in Bangalore. I'm not sure of the month, because it may be July or maybe September. So that is my goal race. I would have liked to choose a marathon as well, but I don't know of any marathon that will surely happen in the first half, because everything looks so wishy-washy in the first half of next year. We don't know how things will pan out. So as of now, I'm choosing goals which are in the second half of the year. So hopefully the Asian Championship 100K will happen. And after that, I want to just try my hand at the 24-hour stadium runs.
Okay, wonderful. Okay. Now, before we let you go, I do a fun segment with my guests, which is a quiz of 5 questions. So if you are ready, we will quickly run through it. This is on, running, fitness, health, nutrition, and things like that.
Very much.
Before moving on, I wanted to request all the listeners to please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. It will only take you a couple of minutes, but it will help the show enormously and help other listeners to discover the show. So please do take a couple of moments to go and leave a rating and review on either Apple Podcasts or iTunes. If you are using another app which allows you to leave a comment or a rating or review, like for example CastBox, please do that either. We also request you to please check out the website runfitraj.com. And also, if you have any comments or suggestions, to please write to me directly at runningandfitnesswithraj@gmail.com. You can follow all podcast-related updates on Instagram at the handle Running and Fitness with Raj, or on Facebook on the Facebook group Running and Fitness with Raj. Now let's get back to the show. Okay. So first one is a famous autobiography of an Indian runner. It is called The Race of My Life. Who wrote this book?
Milkha Singh.
Yeah, that's correct. That's Milkha Singh indeed. Which city will become the first one to host both the Summer and Winter Olympics? No city has hosted it till now, but one city will become the first one in the coming few years. So which city is it?
I think it's Beijing.
Yeah, that's true. Beijing is going to host the 2022 Winter Olympics, and then they will become the first city to host both the Summer and Winter. A question from yoga. The word Kundalini comes from an animal. Do you know which animal it is?
The snake?
Yeah, it's the snake. That's correct. which famous athletic shoe company did this gentleman, William Riley, found way back in 1906?
Nike?
No, it's New Balance.
Okay.
And the last question, a very commonly available fruit from India is now increasingly being used as a meat substitute. Do you know which fruit is it?
Jackfruit.
Yeah, that's true. Jackfruit. So well done. So before we let you go, can you share some of your favorite books or websites, podcasts, YouTube channels for the listeners?
So my Bible in running is a book by Tim Noakes called Law of Running. And yeah, that is more of a book that I use to study. And I've learned a lot about running from that book. I always refer to it. And where it comes to reading more on running, I read a lot of Matt Fitzgerald's books. And I also follow his principle of 80-20. It works very well with me, especially because I like to run long. So 80-20 is very practical and doable for me. And I think that as one ages also, it's easier to run easy more often. So that way you get your mileage. Yes. And another book that I really like is a book by Dina Castor. It's called Let Your Mind Run.
Yeah.
So that one. And where it comes to podcasts, there is this podcast by Joe Rogan. So yeah, I enjoy all his guests. And he's got many runners on his guests too. And he's so versatile because he has people from all walks of life coming and sharing their experiences. And I like to hear Rich Roll too. I think his podcast also very interesting and I learn a lot. And I'm also trying to adopt a vegan way of life. So I enjoy Rich Roll's podcast tremendously. And where it comes to channels, Podium Runner, that's a website I follow, and Runner's World. And both have so much of information and they have such refreshing ideas and thoughts about running. And one can always analyze themselves and so many aspects of our own running and training when you read things on Podium Runner.
Okay, excellent. In fact, Matt Fitzgerald was a guest on the podcast a few weeks back. Where we talked about 80-20 running and his endurance diet. I mean, of course, with Matt, we can talk about a wide range of topics. So these were the topics. And I actually got the Dina Castor to autograph my copy of Let Your Mind Run.
This oh, was wow.
She was there. She was there at the Chicago Expo last year. So she was kind enough to do that for me. And actually, the page that she refers to about her daughter, Piper. So Piper was also there and even Piper autographed that particular page for me. So that's one of the keepsake for me, so to speak. And I also love Joe Rogan podcast and Rich Roll podcast as well. So yeah, wonderful. So, and if anybody like listeners want to contact you, what is the best way to get in touch with you?
Just send me a Facebook message.
Okay. So I will link in my show notes all these books and resources that you mentioned. Thanks a lot for your time. Thanks for all that you are doing to the running community and for all the inspiration you provide. It's been a wonderful, wonderful experience chatting with you, Anjali. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Raj. You're phenomenal. I just love all your podcasts and I love what you are doing for all of us in India and raising our standards by exposing us to so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much to all the listeners. Please check out the podcast website, runfitraj.com. That is runfitraj.com. It has all the podcasts, it has all the show notes, and there is a very useful search function as well. You can reach out to me on my social media handles, which are Running and Fitness with Raj on both Instagram and Facebook. And you can also email me on runningandfitnesswithraj@gmail.com. Please let me know if you have any questions or specific guests you would like to see on the show. I also request you all again to please subscribe to the podcast and spread the word. Please also leave a review on iTunes as it will help enormously to grow the show. We will continue to bring you exciting and interesting guests and give specific and actionable advice. Stay safe, stay healthy, and till the next show, goodbye.